Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, now we're going to turn to the Word of God and begin the second message in our series. It's entitled Recognizing Our Need for God. It really starts there, realizing that what we're dealing with is bigger than us, and it's beyond our ability. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Here is Paul Chappell.
Now, we see them over here in the forest of denial, hiding from God. And they're denying the fact that they have sinned. They're hiding from their sin. And not only that, they're blaming others for their sin. This is how most Christians deal with their sin. They hide in the forest of denial. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't do it that much. I don't do it as bad as the guy that's really hooked. I'm in church today, aren't I? I'm okay. And they hide in the forest of denial. Then when they're confronted by their spouse or by a Christian who really cares, they say, it's my wife's fault. I wouldn't do this, but she drives me to it. It's so-and-so's fault. Eve said, it's the snake's fault. Now, there's a lot of things we could blame on Satan, but listen, life is not a Flip Wilson comedy act, and you can't say the devil made me do it every single time. The fact of the matter is there comes a point where we have to recognize that denial isolates us from God, and we need to come out of that forest of denial and say, Lord, I need some help here. I need your help. Notice the fifth thing denial does. It alienates us from our relationships. Now, this takes place because denial tells us that we're getting away with it. Denial tells us that we're okay. But what happens is we're not okay. We're drifting farther and farther apart from spouse, from family, from those that we're angry with. And so we're becoming more and more alienated. That's why Ephesians 4:25 tells us to speak the truth in love. And then notice letter L for denial. Someone in denial is lengthening the pain in their life. Denial only extends the hurt that someone experiences. Denial only causes the problem to grow deeper. It never solves the problem. And so why don't we recognize our need for God? Two major reasons. Number one, in our pride, we're going to control our problem. I can handle this. I can work through it. No one's going to hurt me like that again. And secondly, in denial, we act like there's never a problem to begin with. Now notice not only why we don't recognize our need for God, but here comes the good news. How can we experience the help of God? For a person that will step out of the forest of denial this morning, for the person that will humble themselves and say, Lord, I do need your help. I get very angry. I'm tempted with this or with that. Lord, I'm still mad as I can be about something that took place. For the person that will step out and just recognize that and admit that to the Lord, He has help for you today. And I want you to see, first of all, when we come to the Lord, we need to be honest with Him. Letter A, we need to admit that we cannot control our sinful tendencies. We need to say, Lord, I can't stop myself. I've tried on my own, but Lord, I have failed. Paul said that in Romans 7:18. I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't know how to do that. And sometimes there have been hurts in our lives that maybe someone did it intentionally, maybe someone didn't mean it to happen, but it hurt us nevertheless, and we've got to deal with it. I heard about a little boy that was sitting in the room with his mother, and they were looking at photo albums of their family, and dad was in the other room just kind of listening as he does sometimes, hearing what was being said in that room, and mom was going through the photo album, and they came to a picture of a man, a tall, muscular man with a dark, full head of hair, and the little boy said to his mom, he said, Mom, who is that in that picture? And she said, well, son, that's your father. And the little boy looked confused, and he said, well, Mom, then who's that bald guy that lives with us now? Boy, the dad didn't know exactly what to make of that, you know. And sometimes things kind of come like that. Sometimes people are mean and malicious with what they say. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that when we respond and lash back in sin, the fact of the matter is that God is not pleased with that. God wants to loose us from that type of anger. Psalm 6 and verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, because I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. The psalmist said it too. He said, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I need your help. I can't solve all of my problems. I know that the songwriter of yesteryear said, I'll have it all and have it my way. But Lord, I can't seem to accomplish that. I'm not that strong. I need your help. We must admit our need for God, and we must admit that we cannot control our sinful tendencies. Notice secondly, we must be willing to lay aside hindrances to our faith. Now, this is very important right here. And this is why many people will not admit that we can't take care of our own problems, because we know that when we say that to God, He's going to say, okay, what is it in your life that needs to be taken out of your life? This is why many people will not say, God, I can't control the sin problem, because we know that God may require of us new friends, new habits. God may require of us that some change takes place. Now listen to it and read it with me in Hebrews chapter 12 there in your notes or in your Bible. Follow along with me. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12 gives this picture of a great stadium. Have you ever been to like Dodger Stadium? And that's what this is. It's a stadium of witnesses. And these are the people who have gone on before us. Abraham and Isaac and Paul and Moses and the Apostle John and maybe some of our loved ones. I believe those who've gone before us have a consciousness of the race we're running. All right? Wherefore, we are surrounded, the Bible says, or compassed about by this great cloud of witnesses, all right? And they're watching us run our race. And God wants us to win this race. Now, how are we going to do that? Notice what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, God says, all right, you admitted that you can't win the race on your own. There are some things, if you're going to win this race, that you need to lay aside. Some of those things are called weights. They're not specifically sins. Some of you that are newer Christians, you say, well, why can't I do that? I haven't seen it in the Bible. And it may not ever be defined as a sin, but it might be a weight, something that's just holding you back from really getting going for the Lord, something that is hindering you from doing what God would have you to do in the Christian life. It's not a sin, but sometimes it's like a weight. Let me grab my coat instead of my microphone, and it pulls you back. Now, if you come to a place of maturity in your Christian life, you're not always saying that it has to just be a sin before you'll stop doing it. But you'll say, you know what? It's not a sin that this man is my friend, but every time I'm with this man, we get drunk, and that is a sin. And there are some things in your life that are weights, and God says, if you want me to help you win this race, you need to lay aside the weights and the sins which do so easily beset you, and we need to be willing to lay those aside. Now, folks, I could preach for days, and so could you right now, on weights and sins that pull us back from winning our race. Let me mention a few that are in the notes this morning. I think about, for example, worry. Some people are just continually pulled back by worry. Matthew 6:24 speaks of it. Some are pulled down by resentment, and they carry such strong resentment for others. And that you just can't even say the name of someone without them becoming filled with resentment and anger. Some are pulled back by this matter of walking alone. Did you know that Galatians tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens? That God does not intend for us to walk alone, but He intends for us to walk with other believers and to bear one another's burdens. But many people suffer with loneliness. And may I say to you this morning, loneliness is a choice. God does not want us to feel that. He wants us to feel the presence of His Holy Spirit and of the Christian family. And so we must be willing to lay aside those hindrances to our faith, the weights and the sins. Now, Paul voiced his testimony in Philippians 3 and verse 13 this way. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't arrived, okay? How many of you are willing to say, I haven't arrived either yet? I mean, I got a ways to go, all right? All right, those rest of you that have arrived, go back to sleep. Okay, now, Paul said, brethren, he says, I have not apprehended, okay? But this one thing I do, now listen to this, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, those past sins, those things that continue to come up and they haunt me and they cause grief and hurt, he said, I'm going to put them behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to press on towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must admit that we cannot control these sins. Then we must lay them aside and give them to the Lord Jesus Christ and focus on Him, Hebrews 12, 2, in order that we might run the race. Then the third thing we must do to sustain this momentum is we must hear the truth. We must continuously open up our hearts to the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. Hear the Word of God. Hold on to God's Word. That means the preaching times. That means Bible study. That means discipleship if you're a new Christian. That means reading the Bible on your own. And God says, I want you to hear the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, let me tell you something about the truth. If you're in the right kind of a church, you don't always like what it says. Sometimes people say, well, I'm trying to find a church where I can feel comfortable. Well, folks, if you're in the right kind of a church, you're going to feel uncomfortable sometimes. Because the truth is not always the most comfortable thing, but it's always the right thing. It's always what we need to hear. You will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. If you want a church that will let you stay in your denial, remain in your sin, and tell you that that's okay, you're never going to have the freedom or the victory that comes by the grace of God. Now, again, sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. I heard about a father that came home from work, exhausted, tired, sat down in his recliner chair. His little fellow was running all around and had some homework that needed to be done. Mom had said, do your homework. And so rather than do his homework, he went in by dad. And he was running around there. And finally, his wife came in and said, now, Johnny, I told you to do your homework. And she looked over to her husband and nudged him a little bit. She said, you know, you better help him with his homework while you still can. Next year, he'll be in the sixth grade. Any dads can relate to that with all the new math, you know. You know, sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, do we? Sometimes we don't like to face where we are with something. But spiritually, we need to face up to it so that we can be what God wants us to be in this life. So why don't we recognize our need for God, our pride, and sometimes our denial? How can we experience the help of God? Admit that we're a sinner. Admit that we fall short. Be willing to lay aside those weights and those sins so that we can hear the truth of God's word. And then notice thirdly this morning, the result of admitting our need. What happens when someone says, God, I need you? What happens when someone comes out of the forest of denial? What happens when someone says, all right, I know I have a tie on this morning and I know I dressed up for church, but there's some stuff going on in my heart. What happens when someone gets honest with God? Two great things happen. First, His grace will be available for you. You see, some people think if I admit that I have a problem, the people at the church are going to club me to death. God's going to club me to death because God's just waiting to expose all my problems to everybody. Now, my friend, there may be some humbling moments that come, but that is not God's intention merely to shame you or hurt you. His intention is to give you His grace. And the Bible says in James 4 and verse 6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. God gives to the humble an appropriation of His grace and forgiveness and mercy. And folks, I don't even know how to describe it because the Bible says that it is a peace that passes all understanding. There's a forgiveness and a peace that comes into the heart of someone that opens themselves up to God that is indescribable. And so His grace will be available, but not only that, His grace will be sufficient. Listen. What pills can't do and what drink can't do and what psychiatrists can't do, God's been doing for thousands of years. His grace is sufficient. The Bible speaks of it in this way, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ knows what hurt feels like. He knows what shame feels like. He knows what temptations are like because He went through all of it, my friend, but He never one time sinned. He never got angry when those Roman soldiers pulled at His beard. He never got angry when He was spat upon. He never hated Judas. He never hated any of them. He did not hold anger. Why? He is our perfect example. Now, that's why we come to Him and we bring our hurts to Him and we bring our cares to Him. And it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you're willing to admit your need, God says, I've got plenty of grace to help you in your time of need. I've got plenty of forgiveness and grace that will help you. Years ago, I was serving as an associate pastor in a church, and my wife and I met a young lady. In fact, her husband came to church, and he was coming back to the Lord, and he said, would you all visit my wife sometime? She needs the Lord. So Terry and I said that we would, and we went out to the house, and I mean, this lady was hard. I mean, as hard as it get. Her attitude was something like this: all right, I know my husband sent you here. Say what you have to say and go. She sat on that couch. We sat across in some chairs across from that coffee table, and I mean, She was smoking like an angry person would smoke. She wasn't just kind of inhaling. She was basically eating those like that. And she wasn't politely blowing her smoke the other way. She was blowing it at Terry and I. And I mean, she was just one rough customer. I guess she thought she'd kind of desensitize us a bit, and she just started saying some things about her cocaine habit, about how she'd had some that day and how she has some every day. Then she shared with us about the fact that she'd had her abortion not too long prior to that. You know, I was seeing the anger, but inside there was one hurting, miserable, guilty young lady. She wouldn't give us the chance to open the Bible. We began to pray for her. My wife did some kind things for her. She came and she visited the church again, for the first time with her husband who came again. I said, Terry, let's go back. And after much prayer and after trying to show her the love of God, the day finally came when she put down her arms and quit fighting, and she prayed to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. She's a pastor's wife today, helping hurting ladies and angry ladies to find what grace is all about and what Jesus Christ can do for them. My friend, what is it going to take to get you to recognize your need for God? What is it going to take to get you to say, God, I'm going to come out of this forest of denial. I can't control my problems any longer. What is that besetting sin that you just can't tackle on your own? What is that fear from which God would like to set you free today? I would remind you this morning, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you will know the truth, John said, and the truth shall set you free.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I believe the most important decision we ever make in this lifetime is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never received that gift of salvation, right now you could take a moment and simply say to the Lord something like this: Dear Lord, I know that I fall short of your glory. I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you now to come into my life, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you have just now put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, Friend, I rejoice with you, and I encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org and request some free materials to help you get started in your Christian life. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.